Hello, everyone. I'm John Mielke, and this is Parkside Today. Someone once wrote, "You can never really go home." The writer's point was that time and circumstances change. Well, on today's show, we might argue that a bit. We're joined by Martel Pipkins, who graduated from UW-Parkside in 2009, and last week, he returned to the UW-Parkside classroom as Dr. Martel Pipkins, a visiting sociology professor. Martel, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thanks, John. Well, I appreciate being here.
Well, I can only imagine that from your days at Bayview High School in Milwaukee to Parkside to Minnesota to back to Parkside, it's been quite a journey.
It's been, and there were a lot of stops in between that. Right after Parkside, I went to Minnesota for the master's, and then after that I went to Illinois for a short year. That didn't really work out, and so then I shifted over to Texas for 4 years to finish the PhD, and then right after that I started full-time over in the Boston area, and then here we are, full circle.
Wow. Well, let's go back and talk a little bit about when you're at Bayview High School, what was it or how did you make that decision to say, okay, next stop is Parkside?
Yeah, it kind of blew a lot of people away, actually, because I wasn't really that into, like, schooling so much, right? Okay. So, like, I remember even before Bayview and being younger, and I would, like, my mom would get me up from for school in the morning, and then I'd go in the bathroom, and then I'd just act like I was getting ready, and I'd take a nap. I mean, like, I just did not like school whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But then I took a trip. It was my last year. Parkside folks came over to Bayview to take us on a tour.
Yeah.
And then they brought us here, and I met Carmen. I met DJ. Uh-huh. I met April and Mary when she was here. Yeah. And then the faculty here. I mean, it blew my mind. So it was in between this and UW-Milwaukee. And I actually had a son at that same time. And so then it was just like, I should be here in Milwaukee maybe so I can, you know, be a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. But then the short commute, it didn't make that big of an impact.
Okay.
So then it was like Parkside, that place. But I knew from the very moment I stepped on campus and just looked up, it was just like, okay, this place is there's something about this place. This is an enchanted place for me.
Wow.
And I knew that something would always keep pulling me back here. And, and here I am. And I've always kept in contact with my previous professors and the faculty and other staff members here. And it's like my lifelong friends, you know, and it's good to be back.
Yeah. Well, we had the chance a number of years ago now that we worked on a story about you and some of your friends from Milwaukee that, you know, that kind of helped support each other while you were here and helped in your success of getting through Parkside. So it is kind of, it's interesting for me as well to have written that story and now to be able to chat with you today about coming back here. And DJ, Damian Evans, who is director of the Office of Multicultural Student Affairs, who I know has been a big influence in your academic success here and probably even personal success.
Oh yeah, he's been my life mentor since I came to this place, pretty much.
Yeah. And he was the one that shared the fact that you were coming back here as a visiting professor.
Oh, nice.
So congratulations on the doctorate.
Thank you.
And welcome back. And tell me a little bit about when you leave Parkside, where was your kind of vision after Parkside? What were you thinking about in terms of, well, here's where I think I may want to go, or here's where I think I know I want to go?
Well, I had I had a lot of thinking to do at that time because that piece you're referencing, all those friends, they came in a year before I did. And so that support system is what got me to where I am even today, even after Parkside. But then, you know, it was those four other guys, they were all graduating. And so I doubled up on my credits. I think I had like 21 credits my last semester. And I'm like, I'm getting out of here with you.
And you're the kid who wanted to take a nap before we went to school. So just checking that we're talking to the same guy.
Exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, what do I do? And so I graduated, and then I was working in Res Life. And so I thought I really wanted to do student affairs for some time. Mm-hmm. I did go into a hall director position. Deanne, who's still at Parkside, mm-hmm. She put us through a rigorous boot camp to get us ready for those kind of jobs. And then I landed several. I got several offers thanks to that training.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I kept talking to my professors, and they knew that I belong in like the academic that side of it. And so they seen me. I had Professor Saif Denial one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, throughout my whole time following him, his courses and things, you know, he was seeing my frustration often. And then one day he stopped me before we walked in class, and he said, "How old are you?" And I was just like 19, 20, or whatever my age was. And then he was just like, "You see, I'm double your age. So I had 20 more years of reading out," right? Because, you know, this man was like a walking university to me. I'm just like, I need to get to that level. And he's seen me like being frustrated with not, you know, always, you know, wanting to get there so quickly.
Yeah.
But then, you know, once he said that, that kind of hit me in a way where I'm just like, right, you know, be where you are. And, you know, that stayed with me. So I'm just like, I need to pursue the educational side of this, the academic and knowledge production. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty grateful I did. And I'm grateful, you know, I had him and Laura Corey and Mary Kay.
Mm-hmm.
These folks really, you know, they laid a foundation for me. They didn't like push me there at all. Right. They laid that foundation for me to say, to be able to like investigate myself and figure out what I want. And then once, you know, I really started to think about the advice they had been given, it was just clear that I needed to keep going. So then I used the hall director position, you know, to get my tuition paid and all that other stuff. And got my master's in sociology.
And that was at Minnesota Mankato.
Minnesota State Mankato.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, actually after that 2 years of the master's, I stayed there another year just to do some adjunct work and apply for PhD programs, because that's like a whole nother job within itself.
Mm-hmm.
So then from that moment on, even though I never out loud said, "I'm going to get my PhD," it just flowed, right? So from the time... from Bayview, which actually, I should rewind, I had a guidance counselor there who actually forced us in the first place to apply for colleges.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't even in my world that, like, I'm going to college, right?
Yeah.
And then I applied to Parkside in Milwaukee, and then I did the tour, and then it was settled.
Mm.
But it's been a journey, and I just knew that, even though I didn't consciously say so, I knew that I'd be going to the point where I needed to get this PhD and make sure I can, you know, get in the classroom myself, do the research, and just like engage with students. Like, I just love that part of it. So,
sure.
Yeah, I just knew this is what I needed.
Tell me a little bit about your experience in Minnesota. So now you're moving to the next step of your educational career, your educational journey. What were some of the challenges, some of the fun stuff, some of the things did you run into, like, wow, this is really getting hard to do, or did it start to come easier for you, or what was that like?
Well, the biggest challenge was that Mankato was in Parkside, and I still wanted Parkside, right? I got so invested in this place, and I wanted to, you know, really extend my stay in the sense of like giving back somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got there, you know, I was thinking, wow, those 4 years were amazing at Parkside. And I'm thinking like, okay, here's the next, you know, really great experience. And it wasn't a bad experience at all, but it definitely wasn't a Parkside experience, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't Parkside proven type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so then...
Boy, you're even getting the brand in there today.
Yeah,
that's very good. That's great.
And so then one of the things that I really enjoyed actually was that, even though, you know, the whole, the liberal arts education, the four-year degree, it makes you, you know, a whole person and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I love being able to just focus on the things that, like, I really wanted to focus. So it was just all sociology, right? Mm-hmm. And then I picked up an emphasis on college teaching there. And I made a lot of connections. But those 3 years, the 2 year studying and then the 3 year after the 1 year after that, it went by so quickly, where it's like I still have some of my most solid educational memories from Parkside. And like, I oftentimes, you know, kind of brush over Mankato whenever I'm talking about, you know, my educational history and stuff. Not because of anything bad or anything. I love the place, but like, you know, Parkside, it just touches you in a way.
Well, and you know, just and before we go too far, I wanted to just remind our listeners, we're talking with Martell Pipkins, Dr. Martell Pipkins, Parkside graduate from 2009, who is back on campus this semester as a visiting sociology professor, and we're pleased to have him on Parkside today. But when I hear you tell your story about the transition from Bayview to Parkside, and how, you know, correct me if I'm going the wrong direction here, but maybe that transition doesn't happen. You know, it sounds like you've got some motivation from a guidance counselor at Bayview, and there was probably a little bit of a tipping point to, do I continue my education? Do I not continue my education?
Oh, yeah.
And then you come here and it's a successful experience. Mm-hmm. So that has to be, you know, that has to stay in your mind as, wow, that worked out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went from not liking school whatsoever. Yeah. And I realized there was a distinction between, you know, high school and, you know, schooling and education. Yada, yada, yada. But it was similar in a way where, And I was at that end point, and I'm not saying out loud kind of what's next. And then the same thing at the end of Parkside, right? But it was different in a sense, is that I had that foundation from Parkside, and and once I was here, right? You know, and I not only the motivation that I get here and the encouragement, but like I had people who would not allow me to fail, right? Like I had between those four friends, and then the faculty and the OMSA and all these folks, like I couldn't, like I just couldn't. Yeah. Right. Chance the Rapper once said, he met Kanye, he's never going to fail, right? And I feel the same way about Parkside. Like I met Parkside, and it's just like these people will not let me. I mean, of course, I learned my lessons, and I, you know, a lot of mistakes here and there, but they would not allow me to sit back and not do anything or not plan anything or not be involved in something. When I left Parkside, my resume was 4 pages long, just because of the, you know, the student activities, the volunteer work, all these things that they got me involved in. Mary Kay got me involved in research, or I already had like a research, my name on research publications, you know, towards that time. And it's just like, you know, I was set up for success. You know, Parkside did that.
Yeah. Well, I know when a couple of weeks ago when we had convocation, and Mary Kay Schleider was there, and I could tell when she came up and saw you that she was fairly proud of the fact that that she saw you there. So that's nice when you have those connections and you can reconnect with those people. When did you realize that you could or wanted to get the doctorate?
I think, again, you know, there was always this lingering when I was here, right? Because, you know, Saif and Laura and Mary Kay, you know, these folks, like, following these folks as mentors, and, you know, just deciding on my own, these people are going to be my educational mentors, right? I knew deep down that that's what I had to do, but I think I didn't, like, outwardly even do that, like decide that until the end of my Minnesota days, where just like, you know, with Bayview, it was like that last point, and then Parkside, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not, it wasn't like this kind of sitting around waiting to the last minute to decide. It was just like, okay, this, I know this is going to be a rigorous experience, right? You know, the PhD tends to be notorious, right? I think only still less than 1% or 2% of U.S. Citizens have PhDs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was something that I really had to, you know, kind of make sure that I was ready for. And I think that year that I took off after, well, I didn't really take it off. After that master's was complete, I stayed there and did the did some adjunct, and I just kept applying. But it was really like, I know I want to do teaching. So I was doing college teaching courses and things and the curriculum design when I was in Mankato. And then I knew I knew that I wanted to teach. Like that is probably the top skill I have that I'd ever brag about. Like, I don't brag about much, but when it comes to teaching, like, I just go all in. All my creative juices, all my heart, my passion, my time, it gets thrown into that. I absolutely love connecting with students, and it's been, I mean, I've been teaching now for about 7-8 years and only full time in the last 3 years. But I knew if I wanted to keep teaching, right, that I had to, you know, do this PhD program.
Sure. Right,
otherwise, yeah. I'd just probably be making, you know, pennies as like part time and things like this. And
right.
so I definitely wanted to do that. And then it was just the things that I was, you know, learning and studying at the time. I was getting into my nerd status where I just love reading, right? And so it was just like, why not spend the next 4 years reading and this material and, like, you know, and still teaching, doing the things I love.
Wow.
And so it's just each time it just kind of fell together from Bayview all the way up until you know, the PhD program,
right?
Or even now. I mean, again, this full circle has been beautiful.
Yeah. So tell me how, what happens in Texas? What do you do there? Or is that more of, are you studying there? Or is that more of the teaching? Or what are you doing there?
That was both. So I went there to start the do my PhD program.
And where in Texas did you?
So it was in Denton, Texas. So it was a joint program between Texas Woman's University, University of North Texas, and Texas A&M. So we can take courses between any of those three universities, right?
Yeah,
so we had access to a wide range of professors.
Wow.
But I started teaching my very first year there. They seen that I had some teaching experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so then my very first year, I was already, you know, instructing my own courses there.
Wow.
And then by my third year, I started teaching at Brookhaven College on the side, along with courses teaching. I was teaching courses at Texas Woman's University.
Okay.
And so the last year I was teaching up to five courses between the two of them, five courses a semester, one time even six courses because I added a first year experience.
Wow.
And it was heavy. It was not something I would ever want to do again. But we made it work, and it was a beautiful experience. And I don't know if, you know, other than the PhD and the master's, I don't know if I've ever had to work that hard in my life. But it was just so joyful that, you know, it didn't even feel like I was straining myself or anything like that. But Texas was the PhD program primarily, right? And then it was also, that's when I really got to be free with my teaching, right?
Okay.
And I started to develop all these wacky and fun ideas, bringing music and poetry and film and taking field trips, like starting to do a lot of things that I think that I wanted to do as a student, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make it a fun and enjoyable engagement and to relate it to them, right?
Yeah.
I take them out there to make sure that they are, like, you know, becoming sociologists at the same time while I'm learning to become a sociologist myself. But Texas was Texas was something else.
But you got through it.
I got through it, but it was there's so much things that go along with a PhD program. You know, I think, you know, if people could just do the PhD and there was no outside obligations, no problem. But, you know, all that mixed together, mixed with, you know, having a good committee, having good advisors, you know, the chair, all that depends on, all that will make or break your experience. And it definitely broke my experience with education, right? So I got, you know, whenever I'm in conversation with people and we're talking about, you know, my time in these different places, I do emphasize how difficult it was, but it wasn't the work itself. It was just everything outside of that, and dealing with politics of departments and changing budgets, which changes, you know, random course changes too, right? Sometimes it was like 2 weeks before classes started, they say, oh, you need to teach this course now. And then, oh, let me develop this 4-month course in 3 days. And And so it was just a lot of that. I never knew if I was going to have my assistantship reawarded to me. Okay. And that just added so much, right? So I'm looking for jobs. I'm applying for work. I'm, you know, doing all this other stuff at the same time while being an out-of-state parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is just really adding up on top of not having that support system that I had at Parkside. Mm-hmm. And so that really just, it did a number on me, honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
So you always take things away from challenges, right? Mm-hmm. You learn from it. There's something that changes you. And what do you take from, whether it's Texas or Minnesota or Parkside, what are some of the things that kind of you think about, maybe think back to, oh, I remember this and I remember how challenging this was, and maybe that starts to shape how you deal with or interact with students now that you're teaching? Do you have some of those?
I think one of those things was making sure, so I, of all the five connections group, I was the quiet one. And I think I was the, like, you know, really reserved. And it wasn't until I started reaching out that, you know, things got a lot easier. And so it was, I can't do everything by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration. Mm-hmm. And collectivity is just necessary for functioning. And you see this, you know, with birds, with you know, all around nature. Everyone, everything is in collaboration with one another.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get to in certain institutions and certain economic foundations, you know, the thing is competition. The thing is like doing it on your own, right? And so I think some of that stuff kind of got to me before, and I'm always thinking like, I don't need them, or kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I needed all of that.
Yeah.
And some. And so it was that. And then as a student, it was I was always good at communication with professors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like that really helped me to, and just seeing it being done by the professors here, modeled by the professors here, how that connection changes the whole experience. So then I took that to everywhere I went and just like, okay, I know Laura Safe, Mary Kay, you know, this is the kind of relationship they had with me, and this is what helped, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I took that and I tried to apply it to no matter how big of a class. I had one class in Minnesota of 118 students in a lecture hall. And even then I'm just like, no, I can still do that. I'm going to know every single person's name.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I'm going to make sure I have some sort of a relation with each person here. No one's going to leave here. No one's going to fail, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, being a fan of, I don't think it was Karate Kid, you know, they said there are no bad teachers, no bad students, just bad teachers kind of thing, right?
Mm.
And, you know, you can flush that out how you want, but I always thought that, like, I always took that from Parkside that, like, I'm going to go back and I'm doing this with every student I come across, no matter the case it is. But then, that becomes a challenge, too, because you have, you know, you do have to set boundaries for your time and energies and things like this. But,
sure,
you know,
sure.
it was it was collaboration, right? That was definitely necessary. And the challenge was getting over that, getting over myself. Like, get help.
Oh, okay.
get a support system, right? Because honestly, I know I can for sure, I know without those that connections that I made with those guys, you know, CJ, Aaron, Tony, and Terrence, who are all doing very dope things right now, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I had support systems always. I mean, my family, my mom, everyone's been supportive. My professors from Mankato, all those folks have, you know, been very supportive everywhere I went. And so, like, that was something that I didn't ignore, but, like, I even with all that support, you know, there were a lot of things where I'm just like, I shouldn't bug them. I shouldn't do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now when I'm engaged with a student, right, I kind of assume that they're thinking that they shouldn't ask me something or
so
think
you,
that I'm
you
a,
in, you initiate the,
yeah,
the contact. Initiate
yeah,
the conversation.
And it's shown so many times that if I hadn't, so many things would have been missed. So many students would have fell through the cracks. And so I'm so glad I did. And that's, you know, seeing, you know, my own challenges as, you know, trying to do things on my own or just not wanting to bother people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, you know, after a while, you know, I just knew that especially collaboration, I'm really big on that. And people and students, when they take my class, they get a little scared sometimes because a lot of their grades are based on collectivity and working together.
Yeah.
And so
which they will have to do when they get out.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know,
right?
Do that.
Exactly,
yeah,
right? And so I definitely try to create each course based on collaboration as opposed to competition, unless
sure,
it's, you know, a little fun thing. But, you know, those, you know, all the challenges that I've had, you know, they've been, you know, looked at, and, you know, I journal a lot, and I always tend to find, you know, in my journal, I'll go back to some dates like, oh, 10 years ago, I was, you know,
yeah,
talking about this and I was talking about that. And a lot of times it went back to Parkside, you know,
oh,
it was or, you know, somebody involved in Parkside or something that happened during my Parkside days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking with Dr. Martell Pipkins. Martell graduated from UW Parkside in 2009, and he returns this semester as a visiting professor in sociology. Martell, what do you think the semester is going to be like? Do you let yourself? Does your mind go to, or gee, I wonder what'll be like, or what'll happen, or haven't you thought that out that far yet?
I have thought about it a lot of times. When I'm planning courses, I kind of think of it as a story, and like so, I do a lot of writing too.
Hmm.
And so when I'm writing a syllabus, I make sure that it feels like a story, like, and you can see the different parts and pieces come together. And so when I do that, like, I even have, like, I change you know, I make theorists, for example, Karl Marx turns into a character, right?
Hmm.
And so then I'll remove all the, you know, dry, dense stuff, and then I'll put these things in story format. And, you know, while I'm driving, while I'm walking, while I'm listening to music, you know, it's always, how can I connect this to this theory?
Yeah,
how
yeah.
can I connect this to the concept, right?
Yeah.
And because I use a lot of music in courses, that becomes such a regular thing, almost a troublesome blur sometimes because, you know, I can just be, you know, going – heading home, trying to, you know, wind down, and I'll be listening to Lupe Fiasco or someone, and they'll be talking about some kind of institutional issue, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to use this in class.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to assign this song to students to read and analyze and then unpack this and connect this to Marx's theory of alienation or something, right? And uh-huh. So then the issue then, it's a slight issue, is that I'm always working, right?
Right.
And so I'm
yeah.
always thinking, always how can I connect this to class? How can I connect this to students? How can I put this in my research, right? But it makes the teaching fun. It makes the research fun. And so I'm always, you know, thinking about the semester. And this semester, it's going to be, It's gonna be fun. I don't want to give away too many surprises, but I do have a lot of exciting things that I'm hoping to bring to Parkside, including some events and some collaborations with the amazing art department here. But mostly, you know, I really want to, I want to make sociology here irresistible. You know, I think, you know, sociology is one of those disciplines where, you know, everyone falls in love with. They take that intro to sociology course. And, you know, I meet so many people in taxis and lifts and, you know, oh, I love sociology. I only took the first class, but I loved it. Right. Yeah. But they never go on. Right. Yeah, and so I want to make sociology irresistible. And every place that I've been, a little toot here is that, you know, enrollment always increases. I mean, from the time I was a student in Texas all the way up into my time in the Boston area, everywhere I went, enrollment would always increase. And I'm not a numbers guy whatsoever, and I don't really like focus on that specific particular thing or aspect of academia. But what I do focus on is these people, these students having some sort of mentorship, but two, right, getting, understanding, developing these soft skills and understanding how the war works, right? So there are people who, you know, and here, you have a lot of first-generation students who may have some financial hardships, if we want to, you know, call it this kind of thing. But they don't understand or know why, you know, that is, right? They may have some individualist, you know, blame and things like this, right? So really quick example, if someone is, you know, experiencing homelessness or something like this, you know, they'll just think, oh, I failed as a person, this and that, and not taking into consideration, you know, the housing crash in 2008 and, you know, the economic downfalls that whether it's going to impact, you know, millions of people, whether they are the hardest workers or not, right? And so I really just want them to connect with, you know, the places they live in and the, you know, not just the immediate places, but the global, right? We have this proximity of care kind of situation where we, you know, we care for our family and then our neighborhood, our state, our country, blah, 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 right? And so the further you get out, you know, the less care that it seems to be, right? Any massive and catastrophic thing that happens outside the U.S., people, you know, they'll be Saturday and go back to it. I want to push that back too. So like I really focus on the global South especially. And so for me it's just, you know, making sociology irresistible so that we have you know, a world of people who's ready to make a positive change in the world.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate you taking time to come and talk with us.
Thank you.
I'm going to officially invite you back to Parkside today. Later on in the semester, because now that we've heard your goal, make sociology irresistible, now we have to find out later in the semester, are you making sociology irresistible, right?
Oh, now I got to make sure I do it.
You got to do it. So it's been a pleasure. We've been talking with Martel Pipkins, now Dr. Martel Pipkins, who is a visiting sociology professor here at UW Parkside for this fall semester. Martel, thanks for taking the time to share your perspectives on Parkside today.
Thank you, John.
And to hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parkside today. Thanks for listening.